Hello, AF Nation, and welcome to another edition of AFL Radio. I am your host, Chris Hopkins, and I'm joined here today by BJ Picard. Today is August 21st, 2014, and we are recording this in Cleveland, Ohio, the 216, home of Drew Carey. And we got in last night from Chicago, had a great dinner with the Winking Lizard. Fun little fact about myself, it's where my parents had their first date. I'm actually from Cleveland, don't live here anymore. But that's where I was born. So we got in last night. We came in. We were at the kids' clinic last night. That kicked off the festivities for Arena Bowl week.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Had the kids from the Euclid football program come out.
Yep.
Gladiators players were in attendance.
Our own Anthony Heron was even out there
Anthony
coaching.
Was out there. Had the knee brace on.
Had the knee wrapped up. Had his gloves on. But he was breaking the kids down.
Yeah. It was a good time, and it's a great way to start off Arena Bowl week.
Yeah, and Cleveland's been a great host so far since we've been here. They've been very accommodating. Very accommodating last night as we did our ice bucket challenge.
Yeah, I think they were eager to help us out with that.
Yeah, at the queue, we filled our buckets up in the team showers, then had our Gatorade buckets outside the queue facing Progressive Field, and Anthony Heron walked down the line and dumped water on us.
I tell you what, it was worth it just to see Commissioner Kurz do the ice bucket challenge in those red shorts.
He came walking up like he was in Baywatch.
He did. That was a good time, though, and it's for a great cause.
It was, again, for a great cause. It's for Pete, the ALS Challenge. We nominated the AFL Board of Directors, so it's on all of the owners now to dump ice water on themselves and donate. And we also nominated the NFL front office.
Yeah, obviously caught on here in the last couple months, but it's for a great cause. It's for ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. Which is a terrible, terrible disease. And it's great that it's getting the media attention that it deserves.
Yeah.
But even more so than that, it's raised a ton of money to help find a cure. So be sure to check out the ALS website if you haven't already. If you've been involved with the Ice Bucket Challenge, like I said, it's a great cause, but don't forget to donate.
The water's doing a great job raising awareness, but at the end of the day, they need more money for research to help find a cure. And that's what the purpose is. So don't get lost in the ice.
But that was a great way for us to start the week here.
Yeah, woke me up, got me acclimated to the Cuyahoga County. So again, last night we had our kids clinic, and today we have our award ceremony tonight. That'll be emceed by
our own Anthony Heron.
Anthony Heron and Seth Bonner, Hall of Fame quarterback for the Arizona Rattlers. Seth Bonner will be on hand also to talk to the players after they get their awards. So as I said, the award ceremony tonight will be held at the Quicken Loans Arena in downtown Cleveland. It's open to the public. We hope everybody comes out. It's free admission. So just come on down and see your favorite players, get their awards. We're doing, it'll be announced the Coach of the Year, Assistant Coach of the Year, MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, Offensive Player of the Year, Playmaker of the Year.
And Rookie of the Year. Yeah, and we'll have... Now, obviously, the two teams, Arizona and Cleveland, are going to be here. We'll also have some players from around the league who are going to be getting some awards. They're going to be here. And we'll have some other AFL Hall of Famers, dignitaries. It's a big deal. The award ceremony, if you've ever been to it, it's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. It's great to get everybody together. And with this being a fan event open to the public this year, everybody's going to stick around and have an autograph signing afterwards. So it'll be a great opportunity to kind of interact with players, coaches, staff members, everybody.
Have we done it in an arena like this before, like this type of setting?
Not while I've been here. This is going to be something new. We're going to have it at the Quicken Loans Arena, actually on the field. So, it's going to have a kind of a unique atmosphere.
They're lowering the Jumbotron.
Yeah.
That's where all of our videos are going to be played.
QTube, I believe.
That's what they call it, QTube?
Yeah, I think it's QTube, yeah.
I like that.
So, yeah, it'll be cool. It'll be a lot of fun, and it's free, and I would definitely encourage any arena football fans in the Cleveland area, people coming in for the game, you're going to want to check this out. It's a lot of fun to be a part of.
Yeah, and obviously the reason why the Rattlers and Gladiators are here is because they have a lot of great players, and a lot of players on both teams are going to be up for awards. So
I would think coaches too.
And obviously coaches,
Both coaches have a real legitimate shot at the Markham Moss Head Coach of the Year Award. I think you can also see one of them taking home the Neptune Wireless Assistant Coach of the Year Award.
Yeah, we got Ron Zaleski in Cleveland.
He'll be up there. And Dave Ewers has done a great job defensively in Arizona.
And even if, guys that didn't, their teams didn't make it, but Omar Smith in San Jose did a great job.
Won it last year.
Yeah.
And, Siah Burley, down in Orlando. He did a great job.
Did an amazing job with that offense with a young group of receivers.
You know, there's going to be a handful of awards that we haven't announced yet. Obviously, this week we've been announcing several, and we'll go over those. But you know, there's going to be some stiff competition for things like MVP. I think you know Nick Davila is probably a front runner, but
2011.
Yeah, 2011 MVP. But being here in Cleveland, I'm hearing a whole lot of Shane Austin.
Yeah, the most unlikely candidate for the MVP. Didn't get his first start till week six.
You can definitely make a case for Shane Austin.
Make a case for the Huntington Redwood, Tommy Grady.
Yep, I mean, certainly turned it around in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I would make a case for Eric Meyer in Spokane. Look at what happened when Eric Meyer wasn't in the lineup when he got hurt.
Again, MVP's most valuable players.
And I think that's why Eric Meyer is a front runner.
Yeah, because when he wasn't under center, Spokane was spiraling.
Yep. It's not necessarily all about the stats. So that one, to me, is maybe the most interesting award.
Yeah.
But what other ones are we going to talk about tonight?
Well, we got the Offensive Player of the Year award. Love Grady up there again, because he just put up astronomical numbers. Austin, you know, with those 99 touchdowns and his command under center with the Gladiators leading him to that 17-1 record this season. Obviously, Davila, guy's a machine.
He really is. I think what's most exciting is that we get to see the two all-arena quarterbacks go at it on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
The last time that happened was Arena Bowl 24 in 2011, Aaron Garcia and Nick Davila,
mm-hmm.
First team and second team All-Arena. And that was one of, if not the best football game I think I've ever seen.
That was the last time Arizona lost an Arena Bowl. Since that moment, they've won two straight and going for that three-peat today. So that was kind of the spark of the dynasty. And then on the other side of the ball, we have the Rydell Defensive Player of the Year. That's going to be the guys trying to obviously stop those high-powered offenses. And, you know, in the secondary, I know Mario Norman's not going to be playing with Cleveland because he's in the NFL right now, but, I mean, he had an unbelievable season and really set the tone for the no-fly zone in Cleveland.
Yeah, I think so. Set the franchise record for interceptions with 12 this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think a guy that's on Arizona's defensive unit, Marquise Floyd, has a pretty good shot as well.
That's definitely a guy they circled when they were – when Cleveland was preparing for this week.
Yeah. And Marquise has been in the league for 6 or 7 years. Obviously a veteran of the game. And 13 picks, led the league this year.
And then, you know, outside of those two guys, also up for the Defensive Player of the Year, along the front line, you had Jason Stewart in San Jose. He had 12.5 sacks.
12.5 sacks, yep.
And then you had James Ruffin, who led the league with 14 sacks. He just got named Defensive Lineman of the Year.
Yeah, right? Crossover Defensive Lineman of the Year, James Ruffin, now with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Okay.
I think he's probably a front runner. I wouldn't count Jason Stewart out of it either. Nose guards, they don't receive the same amount of recognition because they're interior linemen.
Okay.
But those guys can be so disruptive.
Because arena football is all predicated on timing.
Exactly, yeah.
And then the last guy that's definitely up for it is our newest reality TV star, Bo Bell.
Yeah.
Coming out of L.A. Kiss.
And if Bo would have played a full season, if he hadn't gotten hurt, I think Bo probably would have run away with it.
If Bo had more help along the front line, I think he would have run away with it. Because what he was doing in those first 9 games, he did it basically by himself.
We talked about it on Monday.
Yeah.
That was the guy that offenses knew they needed to contain, and they still couldn't.
Yeah.
They're keying on him every single play, but he still gets the job done. So
while we're on the subject of L.A. Kiss, make sure you check out Fourth and Loud. Little plug right there.
Yeah, you DVR'd it this week.
I did DVR. I had a doubleheader softball intramural game, so, I mean, what am I supposed to do? But
I know. Yeah.
Team needs me. Hot corner. Somebody's got to man the hot corner.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so AMC, that first episode is great, and
this last episode, actually, it spotlighted the Bo and BJ Bell relationship.
Yeah, Bo's brother's on the team as well. Bo is the star, but his brother BJ is just trying to make a roster spot.
Yeah, it's pretty dramatic, so be sure to catch the replay online and tune in weekly, AMC Tuesday nights.
Yeah, when I get back to Chicago, that'll be the first thing I'm watching. And now moving on, the other award that'll be up for tonight is the J. Lewis Small Playmaker of the Year. This is the guy that just, you know, he excels at his one position while also being a special teams guy, maybe playing some receiver. It kind of brings us back to the old Iron Man role that was used in the beginning of the league.
It's a challenging award to define.
Yeah.
Because Iron Man was pretty straightforward. You play offense and you play defense. But Playmaker, you know, we've got guys who are up for the award that are all over the map. You got a guy like Dominic Jones, who literally just makes plays. Wherever he is, he makes plays.
Whether he's in the secondary returning kicks.
But he doesn't really play offense. So, you know, how do you weigh that against somebody like Kerry Reed, who is all over the field all the time? He never leaves.
And you got a guy like R.F.L. Nelson, who got traded over to Pittsburgh as a backup quarterback, played a little time at quarterback this season, you know, at the end of games where Grady needed a rest. So he has some playing time at quarterback, played some receiver, mainly was a Jack linebacker, excelled as a Jack linebacker.
The guy who I think is probably going to come away with it is Terrence Sanders. He's probably the most electrifying player, I guess you would say, on the field. Led the shock with 11 interceptions, but he's a kick returner. I don't really know why kickers let the ball get into his hands, but when it does, something big's about to happen.
Yeah, I would definitely squib it or do something else to get it away from him, because the ball in his hands, he is definitely a playmaker. And then the other award that'll be talked about tonight will be the Rookie of the Year. That kind of comes down to, you know, we got guys like Nathan Stanley, who didn't look like a rookie up until that last game against Arizona. We got Greg Carr, who was in top 10 in receiving. This is the first time in 2004 since a rookie has been in top 10 in receiving statistics. You had Farmasoni out in Portland, who was a first-team all-arena performer as a rookie with that bashful group of Thunder players.
I'd throw Bryce Pila in there from
Bryce
Portland
Pila,
as well.
Second-team all-arena performer. You got Teddy Jennings in Philly, who was top five in the league in sacks, led rookies in sacks all season long.
And how about Rashad Carter out in Spokane?
He didn't play a little quarterback when Meyer was down?
Yeah, he stepped in to play quarterback. I think he played in what, like junior high, maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe he played a little bit in high school and college, I don't know. But he's a receiver, and he played really well at receiver, especially when Adrian Tannell went down with an injury, and they needed somebody to step up.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's probably a dark horse. My vote would go to Greg Carr. I think he was just dominant all year.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, it tends to be a receiver that gets that award.
Yeah.
At least the last few years. But yeah, I'd say Greg Carr is probably the favorite. But we had a lot of really good rookies this year.
I mean, it's always exciting when you have this type of crop of rookies, because, you know, look, moving forward into the league, we're gonna have stars. Nathan Stanley's going to be a star, whether he's in San Jose next year or whether he's not. Stanley's going to be a star. Farmasoni, if he stays in the league, if he doesn't get called up to another league, he's a dominant secondary guy. And, you know, Portland and Coach Sock definitely build around him, and that Portland defense with him and Bryce Pila, those are two guys that, you know,
those are cornerstones.
Exactly, cornerstones. Teddy Jennings, him and Brian Robinson on that Philadelphia line, that is scary.
Exactly what you said. That's a great thing for the league.
And Eric Rogers, he's up in the CFL right now, but if he ever comes back down from Canada, those nine games. I don't think there was a receiver that had a nine-game stretch better than Eric Rogers this year.
You can certainly make that argument. He was very, very good.
Had a touchdown in every game that he played in this season. So those will be the awards that are going to be decided tonight. And like I said, make sure you come out to the Quicken Loans Arena. The awards ceremony starts at 7 p.m. There will be an autograph session after. We'll have some Sharpies for people to get those autographs. So that'll be... It's going to be a great experience. If you love football, if you love arena football, if you love sports, it's going to be something you're going to want to show up for. It's our big, it's our Academy Awards. It's our Oscars.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow, media day starts at 1. It goes from 1 to 3. That will again be at Quicken Loans Arena in downtown Cleveland, and that is also open to the public. All the Cleveland guys will be there. Arizona guys will be there. They'll be answering questions to the media, signing autographs. They'll just be, you know, it's more access to the players.
Yep, and media day is always a lot of fun, and we usually have some pretty cool announcements coming that time. So
we will have
definitely stay tuned.
We will have some big announcements. So even if you don't make it to the media day, make sure to check our website for those big announcements.
Yep.
And then Saturday, before the game starts, we'll have Fan Fest outside the Quicken Loans Arena. That starts at 5. It's a great interactive AFL experience before the game. A great opportunity for fans to meet and greet, to, you know, talk with our sponsors. Our sponsors will have some booths set up. There'll be some giveaways, a lot of things for the kids to do.
It's very interactive. It's a great opportunity to get together with other AFL fans.
And if you're just a football fan and you're curious about the AFL but you're not really sure what it is, it'll be a great thing to kind of just learn about the league and learn about the game.
Yeah, and I mean, with the Indians playing at the same time, the Browns playing at the same time, and everything within like a 2 mile radius. Cleveland is going to be crazy on Saturday.
It's going to be the first time in decades that Cleveland's been the epicenter of sports like this.
It kind of is.
It's cool. It's really cool.
It's
going to
be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great segue into Arena Bowl 27.
You go right from the Fan Fest, you walk right on the in the main gates, you're going to be treated to a very entertaining show between the Rattlers and the Gladiators.
I'm just really excited to see how packed that arena is.
You know, we've seen it all season. You've been to a game.
I have, yeah.
This will be my first game in Cleveland. So, BJ, you've seen the electricity and the energy.
It's been a lot of fun this year. It really has. When a city can get behind their team like Cleveland has with the Gladiators, whether you're a Gladiators fan or not, it's an awesome atmosphere to be a part of. And obviously at the league level, we're impartial.
Yeah.
We're looking forward to a great game. But we want to thank the fans of Cleveland for being so welcoming and accepting and creating such an awesome atmosphere for arena football fans from around the world to enjoy this weekend.
The losing in Cleveland has been well documented over the years. They haven't won a professional championship since 1964, and that was when Jim Brown was playing for the Cleveland Browns.
Yes.
But regardless of that, Cleveland's always been such a great sports town. They're always eager to get behind any team that has a chance of being good, whether they get good or not. I mean, the Browns haven't had a winning season in years, but they still have sellouts every game. So, I mean, it's such a great sports town, and they're just Cleveland's been eager to have such a taste of championship, and now they're on the precipice of a championship now.
Yeah.
So if you're a Cleveland fan, go out and support your team.
8 o'clock Eastern time Saturday night on ESPN.
If I can guarantee one thing, this game will be going down to the wire. Cleveland has won 9 games by less than 7 points. They've won games on 3 Hail Marys.
3 Hail Marys and then 3 game-winning field goals.
3 game-winning field goals. They had a game-winning field goal against Philly in the first round of the playoffs.
Yep.
So I'm not a betting man, but if I was to bet, this is going to be a close game.
I would think so. I really think we're going to have a good game on our hands. I'm not saying that because I'm selling the game.
Yeah.
I really believe this is going to be a great arena football matchup. I think you got two awesome teams. It's going to be an electric atmosphere, and I think that makes for a really, really good football matchup.
Yeah. The energy is palpable in the town, and it's not just coming from the Browns and the Indians. It's coming from the Gladiators. Well, thank you for listening to another edition of Arena Football Radio, AF Nation Podcast. Again, I am your host, Chris Hopkins, and I want to thank BJ Bacard for joining me. And again, the award ceremony is tonight at the Quicken Loans Arena. Starts at 7, autograph session after. And thank you again for listening. I'm Chris Hopkins, signing out. Stay true, AF Nation.